So, ready?
Yes.
Let's start. Okay, so we are going to start with module number 5, which is thoughts and beliefs. And it's actually one of the modules that excites me a lot, because there is not so much information on the market, from my experience, that is really good. I mean, you hear about, I mean, there are authors and some other people that teach, and they say about importance of beliefs. I mean, Maxwell Maltz is one of my favorites with cybernetics. I also learned from T. Harv Eker when it comes to beliefs about wealth, and he made some bestsellers with this kind of information. However, I haven't found many, many courses that can combine the knowledge of spirituality, of advanced spirituality, and how beliefs works. And even in spirituality, I mean, the training in spirituality is focused a lot on presence and on energy work. But even they don't tackle beliefs. A source that I found that talks about beliefs and ideas like that is Bashar. I mean, I listen to Bashar a lot, and Bashar has some very, very good ideas that made me thinking, but I have to admit that even myself, I had to spend years until I could digest all that information. And it's a bit hard to have access to Bashar. I mean, there is a store, but he's usually a bit, he doesn't dwell so much in the topic. So you have to take some of this this stuff that he says, or another good source is Abraham Hicks, another channeling source. But it's the same case. I mean, they talk about law of attraction. That, I mean, The Secret, the movie The Secret, and all the books and everything else that was made was based from Abraham Hicks. And I mean, it's wonderful content. However, in my experience, there isn't something that can understand that perspective and that perspective and that perspective and combine it into one thing. I mean, they talk about specific subjects. They are great sources of information. I mean, I recommend them if you can go to them. But I will try to condense it. I will try to give you the best nuggets and give you examples and how it works, so you can make a lot more progress and apply it faster, easier, with more results. So we have some layers of the unconscious mind, of the subconscious mind, and so forth. Probably most people have tried to meditate at some time in their life. And I remember when I first started to meditate, when I first started to try this, the idea is to be able to become without thoughts. And in the beginning, it's something almost impossible, because you keep having thoughts every second. I mean, that was at least my experience, but I know that from some other people that they're having actually the same experience. And you want to meditate, but still thoughts that are maybe annoying come to you. Maybe the door is not closed. Maybe I have to do something. I have to do that. Sorry for my usage of words sometimes. Somehow the mind behaves like a monkey, keeps bringing you things that are not urgent, but somehow it finds a way to interrupt you in your meditation. So I'm very happy that right now I don't really have thoughts anymore. I don't really have the monkey brain, so to say. So that is a lot of meditation after using nutrition, after a long process that took most of my time and energy in the past 7 years, seven and something. And the thing is that when you can calm down your thoughts, when you reach to a point where you don't really have thoughts anymore, another layer unfolds. And that's the layer of emotions. Because after you are able to conquer your thoughts, to conquer your physical mind, you have a much better access into your emotional level, so to say, into your emotional level. And then you can get in touch with your emotions, and you can work directly on your emotions. And you can ask a question, what is it that I'm feeling right now? And many people will have mixed feelings. I'm feeling a bit of joy. I'm feeling a bit of depression. I'm feeling a bit of anxiety. I'm feeling a bit of that, a bit of that, and a bit of that. And this is something very, very interesting. A principle is that no emotion you cannot have any emotion without a supporting belief. And I'll give you the perfect example. You cannot feel any emotion towards something that you don't know about. No, have some feelings about John Doe from the street. You don't know how John Doe looks. You don't know if it's a girl or a guy. So you have no feelings. You cannot have any feelings without some definitions in your mind about how that thing or person or something else is. You cannot have any feeling. And that's how you enter the belief ground. Because when you can observe in meditation your emotions, you can get in touch with your core definitions, with your beliefs. So for example, if you experience anxiety, you can simply ask the question, what would I have to believe to have this feeling right now? What would I have to believe to be true to have this feeling right now? And that's how you introspect. That's how you get to your own definitions, which are your own beliefs. And many people say your beliefs create reality. However, I haven't found many useful resources, like I said, that are very, very thorough, that go from cover to cover, that take the time, take the exercises to actually unfold your beliefs, because that's the problem. Many of your beliefs you are not really aware of, because many times we hide from them. Let's say when it comes to wealth, you have this belief that many people have that money is evil. Many people don't want to admit that they believe that. However, what do you think it projects to money when it comes to the law of attraction? Of course, if you believe something is bad, a part of you is fighting to keep that away from you. If you don't believe money is good, is great, and if you don't believe you are worth to have a lot of money, guess what? Your beliefs create your reality. Your beliefs are like bricks of energy that will create your reality. So in a way, the process is that I recommend is first connect with the present and look at your thoughts and go beyond the thoughts slowly and slowly. One way to go beyond the thoughts is to place your attention inside your tantien, in your lower belly. When you have too many thoughts, you just put your attention there. And it's a work in progress. I mean, it's not a process that is instant. And I know people are obsessed now with instant results. I want something very fast, even in marketing campaigns, right? I mean, pizza in 20 minutes or less, or it's free, stuff like that. So people want very, very fast results. However, you have to take in mind that nature doesn't hurry, yet everything is accomplished. Sometimes you cannot really force the process. You have to allow the process to unfold and to work for you. So when you have too many thoughts, you place your attention in your lower belly, two fingers below the belly button, and you start to feeling energy there. And this is your tantiem area, tantiem, how the practitioners of Eastern arts are calling it, whether it's Neidan, whether it's Qigong, and some other arts. All of them have this area to be able to ground their qi energy, which is basically our vital energy. Qi energy is the one that controls the blood movement as well, for example. And I've witnessed miracles performed with qi energy, like I said. And I've done some small little things myself. However, right now, I don't want to perform stuff, like I said in the past, at this moment. I prefer to use it and not consume it for entertainment purposes. And the more, even with ayahuasca, what makes ayahuasca so effective is that I ingest that elixir, and for a certain amount of time, from 4 to 8 hours, you put something in your stomach that gives you a lot of chi, so to say, gives you a lot of energy, so you can process a lot of emotions and a lot of beliefs. That's actually the process. But many people, they haven't been exposed to a state like that, and they have a lot of revelations, logical and emotional. Maybe somebody has a belief of, look, I don't like people, or I don't like new people in my life. And maybe they have a revelation like, look, it's not their problem. In a way, it's my responsibility. Not everyone is good or bad. There are some people that are worth it, something like that. Or I remember a classic example when with ecstasy, for example. Ecstasy, many people know it's a drug. There was a doctor from UK that actually said that it's some small dosage of MDMA is good for treating depression. And I heard of many people microdosing MDMA. I don't really like these kind of tools because you can become dependent. So it's nice maybe to try it once if you have the opportunity and it's safe, because of course some of these are illegal, but I wouldn't rely on them. I wouldn't rely on them. So for example, one therapist gave to the patient that was depressed some ecstasy, some MDMA based chemicals. And something that stayed with me was, is life worth living? And that person was on the substance, on the nature, and he came to a conclusion, yes, life is worth living. So that's actually a core belief. And of course, if you hold onto a belief that life is not worth living, guess what? The mirror of reality will reflect you. Yes, look at more proof why you are right. Bad things happen to you. Yes, you are right. If you say so, if you look in the mirror and you frown and you say life is not worth living, yes, what you will hear is the echoes of that. And living proof examples that life is not worth it. However, from the inside, if you smile and you say life is worth living, guess what the reflection will be? Yes, smiling, life is worth living. That's how it works. Because we have to understand at the core of all things is vibration. This has an impact all the time. All the time. And in a way, emotions determine your thoughts. And the smallest and probably best example is, think about when you have an amazing state of emotion, right? You feel amazing. You have amazing thoughts. Some people experience that with drugs, and that's why they become addicted. Some people even use drugs in order to compose melodies, to get inspiration. I mean, like I said, I'm not an advocate of that, because you become dependent. So in my opinion, you shouldn't use those too much. Maybe you can try to see what is the state that they give you. If you have a safe environment and you make sure the substance is as clean, as natural, in its purest form as possible. That's why when I went to do ayahuasca, I went to Peru, and I could tell a difference even there in quality. There was black ayahuasca, white ayahuasca. White ayahuasca was much better. And I had an experience in Romania, to be fair, and it was not the best ayahuasca. People were like still like, yeah, ayahuasca, let's get high, let's get visions, let's get special effects and stuff like that. But like for me, it was like, this is not so good. It's like you know, eating steak in one of the best restaurants in the world versus eating a burger at McDonald's somehow. Maybe not the same the same difference, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, okay, it's still beef, but it's not the same thing. And what is important is to understand that your emotions determine your thoughts. I still have thoughts sometimes. When you reach peace of mind, which we will talk more in the next module, you'll be able to calm down your thoughts to a point where you have less and less. And then if you allocate time to become more and more aware of your emotions, then you can uncover your hidden beliefs, the definitions that you hold dear to, but maybe you stole them from society, maybe you stole them from your parents, maybe you stole them from your peers. When I say stole, yeah, they had that belief. And like, for example, money doesn't grow on tree. Like, you know, money is hard to get. Yes, guess what? If you have that belief and you hold dear to that belief that money is hard to get, guess what? The mirror of reality is getting that signal all the time, is affecting your vibration, your emotion, and it will reflect that back to you. I'm not saying have stupid beliefs. Yes, I can fly. Yes, I can fly. I fully believe that I can fly because, of course, we play the game of reality. There are some rules. I mean, we don't have to believe in gravity for gravity to work, because these are beliefs on a higher level. And in psychology, they talk about it, this about mass consensus agreements. I've seen some people trick that belief when they can levitate. I mean, even Jesus, when he was walking on water, he was levitating on water. And you can do that with a lot of chi, with a lot of energy. But you consume a lot, you burn a lot. So, I mean, if is it worth it or not? For example, one of my masters in Qigong, yes, was able to put things on fire. He was able to put fire remotely or directly into an object. And he was admitting, yes, this takes a lot of energy from me. It's nice to be able to display so people can have undoubtedly proof that this thing exists, that is possible. However, you shouldn't overuse it, in my opinion. And I've met another like Grandmaster Wang Liping, which I respect very highly as well, who didn't make any demonstration. And many people told that he was more powerful than other people that displayed powers like that. If you want to see how chi energy and how energy is actually real, I can give you, for example, a video on YouTube, if you guys want to see how somebody demonstrates chi energy. And it's real. It's like one of those masters that I went to. So, I mean, I no longer need demonstration of that to know that it's true, that it works. But maybe it's a good resource. Do you want it?
Yes, that sounds really interesting. I would like to see it.
I'll give it just a second. It's on YouTube.
Java. He didn't want his real name or address revealed.
I'll put it on Skype. Okay, this is the video that we can include as resource to understand. So these guys, what they do, they develop the tantian, they develop the lower belly area. And when they are able to accumulate a lot of energy over there, they can use that energy to make miracles. And that's the blueprint of the human body, because everybody has that area. And people like to believe like, look, we're so evolved, we cannot go any further. And, I mean, it's a funny example is the head of science in UK, I think around 1,800 or 1,900, he is pretty famous for saying everything that was, that had to be invented or was already invented. You know, so people all the time, especially people that don't know so many things, they think like, okay, we are at the peak of the evolution and the end of the world is coming, something like that, you know, it's coming soon. those are two beliefs that are funny, but like many, many times people feel like that. Even right now, some people, I'm sure they believe like, yes, the end of the world is coming soon. And yes, we are at the peak of the evolution. And no, the human body is still evolving. And the shamans were believing that Homo luminus will actually appear in the future, where we become more and more light, where we can actually perform miracles, where we become telepathic, where we are connected with each other only through the power of thoughts and feelings. So I think in the future, yes, this will happen on Earth as well. So to get back to the theme of the module today, thoughts and beliefs. In a way, the Dory is free emotion. Because yes, beliefs are thoughts that you keep on having in one way or the other. And beliefs contain core definitions in your consciousness about yourself, about physical reality, about relationships that you have with things, people, etc. So the doorway is first to become aware of your thoughts, to relax them, to be calm, to be in a state of peace, and then to look at your emotions. Look at your emotions and the emotions that you don't want, that you don't prefer, you can ask loudly yourself. What would I have to believe is true to have this feeling that I'm feeling right now? And yes, answers apply. Answers appear. Whenever you ask a question, the answer will appear as well. And you can take another look of that definition that you have. Is that the ultimate truth? Is that how reality works? And most of the times, you'll just say it's something that you took from somebody else, whether it's school, whether it's parents, like I said, whether it's society, friends, who didn't want necessarily to give you something bad, but they didn't know any better. They believed that is true as well. So that's how it works. So, I mean, as an example, Sorina, maybe you can tell me in the present moment, what feelings are you feeling right now?
Well, I would say curiosity or maybe excitement to learn.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Is there any feeling that you can become aware of that you may want to change? And let's make it into a theme of money, if possible. I mean, let's put priority money, then love, because you tackled a bit both subjects in the past modules.
You mean my feelings towards money?
Well, let's focus on the present moment, because all the time we have beliefs and all the time we have energy and emotions towards that. So let me ask you a simple question. How do you feel about money? Do you think money is good, bad? What do you think about fairness of money? Like money is correct or not?
I think money in itself is not good or bad. It's just how we use them.
Okay. Go on.
And I think money is fair, like using money, going deeper into capitalism and all that stuff, that's more complicated. But using money, I think that's a good social construct that we developed as humans.
So what are your emotions toward money? And what do you believe when it comes to money?
I mean, I think my emotions change. So maybe sometimes frustration, sometimes excitement. I guess it depends on the situation. And could you repeat the second question again? I'm sorry, I'm a little lightheaded.
What do you believe about money?
I believe they're a useful resource if you have them.
If you have them, huh?
Yeah.
What when you don't have them?
I mean, I guess I believe that people with money should be more compassionate towards people that don't have it.
Okay, that's fair. And I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, I tend to agree with that. Some people become very, very greedy and they lose compassion for some other people.
Yeah, that's exactly why I said money in itself is not evil, but it's just how you use it. Many people that gain a fortune forget, I don't know, where they came from, I guess.
Okay, so you don't really seem to have something misaligned, so to say. However, I remember that in one of the past modules, you are having difficulty accepting that maybe you will have your dream lifestyle when it comes to money in a way, right? You wanted a house, you wanted right. some specifics that wanted money. So what made you think that it's not something attainable with simplicity?
Right. So, yeah, I guess when you said before about the belief that money is hard to get, I kind of resonated with that. At the same time, I understand that there are many examples of people that didn't have to work so hard for their money and became successful. But at the same time, I don't see myself getting money easily.
Well, let's go for some beliefs here. So you can have the belief that money is hard to get, or you can have the belief that money is easy to get. In my opinion, which is something that I observed, when you use the right leverage, money becomes pretty easy to get. Yes, for most people that they work from a position of, you know, hard work to make money to survive, yeah, money is hard to get. I mean, we can look at many industries like that, right? I mean, money is hard to get for somebody who works on a lower level in a corporation or works in a lower level in a specific field. However, if you learn the knowledge, if you learn the skills, if you can create value, in a way, money becomes pretty easy to get. So I think the best position to not go into wishful thinking, because that's another, so to say, problem some people may have with manifestation. Because yes, with wishful thinking, you could get lucky sometimes. But I think objective thinking, critical analyzing, critical thinking is much more responsible and produces lasting effects. So that's why I think it's important, for example, to treat money with respect. Because if you only think money is easy and that's it, some people have some periods where are fortunate. And like I can give you examples like athletes. Some athletes are lucky. They have some genetic gift. It's easy for them to be very, very good at sports. And they can end up making a lot of money. And many of them end up broke years later or decades later. It's one of the examples. I mean, it was easy for them to make money. And I'm sure they made that belief. However, reality comes in. And like, look, it was easy for you when you had a highly valuable skill. However, if you lose that skill and you don't have any other means, you haven't, in a way, became responsible for the energy of money, it can change. I like a position of neutrality for grounding. And this is advice that Buddhist gives away as well. I mean, in a way, their objective is to achieve peace of mind. With neutrality, you go towards peace of mind. And you can take reality as is, because reality is already perfect. It gives you choice for positive and negative. It gives you, in a way, the means of appreciation. Because if everybody would have money, unlimited money, money would not be appreciated anymore. Like, abundance wouldn't be appreciated if there wasn't the possibility of lack of abundance. You wouldn't appreciate a flower if some things in nature wouldn't exist to make the contrast. Does it make sense?
Yes, it's similar to how you wouldn't appreciate happiness without sadness.
In a way, yes. In a way, yes. But like the, so to say, fortunate part is that our natural core is one of abundance, is one of happiness, is one of unlimited power, because we come from source, from a spirit. We come from God itself. We are one with God, which is the source of all existence. So we come from unconditional love, unconditional power, unconditional light. We just experience life as a way to process what we prefer and to grow in that process. So with money, you get much more satisfaction. Charlie Munger is one of the most wise men when it comes to financial things and not only. And he said basically the best way to get success is to be worthy of that success. And I fully agree with that. Because nobody can take the satisfaction when you know that you become like that through fairness. In fact, I believe in a way that's how spirit works. I mean, when you become that, you have the satisfaction of knowing that you have achieved that from rags to riches, from going into something that is pretty dark, because physical reality has a lot of limitations, and we conquered and went back into the light. That's something that creates a high vibration of feeling amazing. No one can take that from you when you know that you achieved that by yourself, through your own means, that you are worthy of that because you already did. And there are many people that make money fast and easily through means that are not, so to say, ethical, and they lose all that money fast, or they have a very, very bad lifestyle. I mean, I can give an example. Pablo Escobar, right? He became pretty popular in these years with all the movies and all the stuff about him, you know, on cinema, on like, and a lot of people were like, yeah, Pablo Escobar, la 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 la, look at him, he is mafia, la 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 la, especially like young people, right? Like thinking like, look, he had such an amazing lifestyle. That's bullshit. Sorry to say it's true. It's bullshit. He was living in fear most of the time. He had to smoke weed to be able to relax, living in fear that he would be killed. And he had some money, okay, but he was hiding it in the ground. That's not an abandoned lifestyle. Maybe he was a model for somebody who wants to be a thief, like, you know, like a thief to succeed. But what is successful about being a thief? Anyway. So, you know, that's the problem, in my opinion, with society right now, that we don't have very good examples of people. People still fall for the quick and easy scheme. That doesn't really work. And it was proven time and time again that quick and easy is wishful thinking. I'm not saying it has to be hard, but what if quick and easy is replaced by passion and work that feels like passion? And Andre is on the call. When you work with passion, it's not so bad, right? I mean, you can grow, correct or not?
Yes, you're right.
And wouldn't you be even more satisfied knowing that was something challenging and you still made it versus knowing that it was something easy and yes, you made it as well? Wouldn't it make it a lot more worthwhile?
Yes, of course. It's a lot more pleasurable when you know you've worked hard for something.
And you deserve it, right? Something that was for many people was
yes, challenging, yes.
Right?
And you really feel that you deserve what you are getting.
Yeah. So that's the perspective. In fact, it can give you more satisfaction, like when you look at gaming, right? You have easy mode, casual mode, blah, 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 hardcore mode. There are many gamers who say, you know what? I want hardcore mode or nightmare or whatever mode, if you know what I'm referring to. Because I want a challenge. And yes, if you want billions and tens of billions, yeah, it can be challenging like that, although it's not the mandatory way. And I can give you, again, the example of Warren Buffett, who says he doesn't work very hard. He works a couple of hours a week, maybe, or a day. He reads a lot, and he makes some financial decisions every couple of months. Doesn't seem like a lot of hard work. Of course, he works with the mind. He thinks. Which for some may seem like hard work, but for him is a pleasure. So it doesn't have to be hard. You know, it was many times like, yes, to be rich and successful, you have to work like a slave, like work, 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 100 hours, something, la, la, la. And it was debunked recently. I mean, people realize like, look, sleep is actually important. Because if you don't sleep, sometimes you make bad decisions, and this will cost you more than some extra hours of work that you lose, especially if that those extra hours you make mistakes, you make errors in those. So thoughts and beliefs. Ideal is to get to a neutrality point where you can see the reality as objective as possible. You can see what is for isness itself. And many people have a challenge with that, because if you look at a flower, it's a miracle. How beautiful it is, how nice it smells, how life is creating life in a positive way. That's a perfect heaven example. And we don't look at that. We don't look at that. Nature is a miracle. And we don't see it for what it is objectively. So by becoming more and more objective, in fact, you become more and more positive. Because you look at all the things that support you. You look at all the love that the universe has for you. And also, by entering more and more neutrality, you understand clearly that it's your choice. I mean, you can retain some of the negative beliefs, but then you own the negative reflections. And you know also that when you go into the positive beliefs, you will get the positive reflection. So the universe, from a maturity perspective, always gives you the choice. You can choose that, you can choose that. We don't impose it on you. I mean, in a way, God's love is so big that it allows you to think that you are not loved by God. Does it make sense?
Yes.
It's something objective. Think about it. Someone loves you so deeply that he gives you freedom to feel like you are not being loved, because it gives you free will. And that's unconditional love. And it's very, very objective. I'm not fooling everyone. I'm not deceiving everyone. I'm just telling the truth. And truth, if you look at religion, the holy truth, the full truth shall make you enlightened, right? It shall set you free. Use it. That's introspection. That's beliefs. The holy truth. What would you like to believe about money, Sorina?
I guess it boils down to if I deserve it.
Okay.
So maybe because I'm at the beginning of my career and I feel like there's so much stuff that I still need to know to make money, in order to make money and deserve that money. That's why I'm sabotaging myself, so to say, and saying that I don't deserve it now.
Well, like I said, it's a process of growth. I mean, it's best when you deserve it and you receive it at the same time. That's best. So make sure the quality of your work is impeccable. Make sure you create something of value. I mean, even with this course, I mean, make sure that we can produce the best that we can. And, you know, there will be opportunities. Opportunities come all the time.
Right. I'll sit with that idea. Of course, I want to do my best in whatever I do. But I'll sit with the idea that if I deserve it, it will come.
I mean, you're in a way at the beginning of your career and you took the employer's path, which is perfectly fine. I mean, it's where actually most people are in the Western world. And there are many, many ways to approach it. You know, there's not something like an ultimate truth. And I can give you the example of Facebook and Google. Many people got very, very rich for being employed there. You know, I mean, of course, the founders made more money compared to other people, but most of the money were actually made by other people. And in a way, it's possible to become rich in all scenarios, as an employee, as a freelancer, as an entrepreneur, as an investor. There are examples. I mean, like I said, objective reality. For example, yes, both of you have a potential to become millionaires. I mean, Andrei is maybe having a path that is more clear. And, you know, I would like for him to work with us long term, and we can negotiate. I mean, he has benefits from working with us. He can grow. Sorina, you have opportunities as well. So make sure you become better, because when you become very, very good, in a way, there is a law of money that gives you what you give. If you get a great product, you don't really need marketing so much anymore. And this is something that Jeff Bezos said, that right now, the quality of the product, the experience of the product is more important than the marketing. And I understand it when it comes to Amazon, to his e-commerce, right? Because people look at products and they look at reviews, they look at ratings, and that's in a way the best selling point in a way, right? I mean, you look at products, if it has one star and you have some terrible comments, then it repulses you from buying. I mean, look at IMDb when it comes to watching movies, right? If you see a movie has a rating of 4 or 5, you don't want to watch it. If you see a movie has a rating of 8 or 9 or even more, you're excited, right, to see it.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. It's just because the market is so saturated that people are not looking to be sold. They are looking for something that has social proof.
Yeah, and I understand why this is like that. And technology will make it more and more possible for getting the most deserving products into the hands of the most people. Although sometimes standards are a bit low because, you know, like the level of society is the one that is moving the slowest. And I mean, if we look at food, right, like the most popular foods are still McDonald's, Subway, and things like that, right? So I'm not saying it's the best product by themselves for sure, but they are the most popular because that's what people prefer. Right now they prefer taste. They don't prefer health and quality overall. And it is what it is. Even with movies, sometimes you have some movies that are hidden gems. I mean, they receive a pretty bad rating for the wrong reasons. And you have some movies that have been pumped up. I mean, they receive a higher rating than they would be worth it. And you can think of examples like that. So it's not like a general rule overall. It's not a general rule. So I'm sure as technology progresses, more and more solutions will appear to have even more meritocracy. But I can say that the best way to make more money in a way is to make sure that you're also worth it, that you can give something in exchange. I mean, the quality of your work has to be very, very good. And, you know, in many positions, it works like that. Like if you look at a real estate agent, in case he is able to make sales, he gets a commission. If he's not able to make sales, he doesn't get a commission. If he's able to make sales and make the customer happy, he can get a client for life and make many more commissions, and he can get referrals. If he's making a sale and deceiving the customer, maybe he gets a bad reputation. And, you know, it's a very problematic position. I mean, maybe you would get a sale that you wouldn't get, but like, look, Warren Buffett says, we can afford to lose money, we cannot afford to lose reputation. And I'm sure he's pretty savvy when it comes to financial advice. So it's easy in a way to be tempted by the easy money and lose character. But in a way, it's stealing from yourself from all levels, and it's not worth it. It's far better to create something that is worth it, and in time, you build something that has reputation, that has maybe the ability into becoming a brand that is valuable. That's how you make actually even more money and more satisfaction. Make sense?
Yes, I agree.
Okay, any questions?
I was wondering if you have any advice for empaths to not care or get to a place of neutrality. Like an empath, I feel that I get a lot of negative feelings very easily from other people or situations that are happening in the world.
Connect with the feeling. Connect with the feeling. For example, right now, because you talked about that, you can connect to a situation where you feel, let's call it negative energy. You're experiencing negative energy. And ask it, what would I have to believe to feel the way that I do? Even only observing it will build you emotional muscle, so you feel it less and less in a bad way. But the best approach would be to be very introspective, to be calm, to be objective and to ask, what would I have to believe? And I ask you, what would you have to believe to feel that emotion of, I don't know, sadness, whatever it is?
Right. So let's say, for example, I feel sad because of inequality. So maybe let's say a lot of people are starving in Africa and I feel sad about it, but I can't change my belief that that's bad. So how do I get into a place of neutrality?
Well, you have to realize, you have to understand that when we come into this life, we choose the life that we want to experience. We choose the team. Some spirits, I can give you the perfect example. Some, you know, there are situations where a child is unborn or dies after a couple of years. And I think that's probably like one of the most tragic situations. You agree, right?
Definitely.
There are spirits that fit, that say, look, this is in spirit, you are abundant. You don't need to eat. You don't need to sleep. You have abundance and you are much closer to the emotion of love, of full love, of unconditional love. And you feel amazing. You feel amazing. It feels so good. And over there, you don't have so many needs as here. And spirits coming from that place into this place, maybe some of them, look, I don't want to enter the deep sea. I just want to put my toe in it, in the water, to see how water feels. And they have a short life. It's maybe a couple of years. It is a bit of suffering, but it's not as painful as you'd think for them. And they experience how physical reality is. But it's all upon a spirit level, because spirit, in a way, governs physical reality. Does it make sense?
It does.
And even say, let's say, having a bad condition in Africa, it can be a number of reasons. Maybe they wanted to explore a theme of poverty for their own growth. In fact, one of the research, one guide was saying, like, one of the biggest fortunes is to have to deal with a bad illness. Because when you deal with a bad illness, it gives you a lot of weight, like in weightlifting, to be able to grow a spirit. So you come from a place where it's love, where you don't have needs, into a place that has limitations. And we are advanced spirits on Earth. Earth is believed to be, by many, and I agree with that, one of the, let's call it, toughest schools. But maybe it's not a fair, so to say, labeling the usage of these words. Let's call it one of the most prestigious schools, like entering Harvard or Princeton or something like that. So, of course, there is a level of discipline that you need to attain in order to become successful. And only the, let's call it, most powerful spirits come into this kind of reality. But they graduate with merits, so to say. You know what I'm saying? They receive many honors for that. And they chose it. You chose your life before entering it. And also, it's important to understand that everyone is safe. Everyone is safe. And everyone is guaranteed to get in the light eventually. We have infinity at disposal. If not in this life, maybe in the next life, or maybe in the next life, and so forth. So we don't come from a place of scarcity. We'll never cease to exist. In a way, when you die, is like waking up from a dream, and the greater being is actually you on the other side. This is the life that understands all the lives you've been having, all the themes you've explored, and you are much greater on that other side than on this side. You have 100% of your energy back there. Here you come with a bit, with a fragment of your energy. But the goal is to be able to reach into spirit by this life. And that's how ascension happens. Some people are able to live, like Jesus, you know, ascended. Some other masters in the past have ascended. They have unified physical reality with spirit. Does that answer the questions?
Yeah, I guess I need to focus less on physical reality and more on spirituality or the bigger picture, I guess.
Well, what does it mean to focus on physical reality? It's actually to focus on how you perceive results to be. You focus on, yes, the mirror is frowning at me, right? On some areas.
Right.
Is that effective?
I guess it's not, but it's just difficult to not feel guilt thinking that people go through
what do you
tougher
believe?
Things.
You believe it's difficult or it's simple? I prefer simple. If you think it's difficult, guess what? It becomes difficult.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's how you look at beliefs. That's how you look, because there is not, let's say, difficulty built in the universe. We decide whether it's difficult or it's simple or it's easy. It can be challenging, but challenging and difficulty is, there are different things. Challenging also comes with excitement. It's something that you can enjoy. It's a challenge. Okay, you may have to go at it for a couple of times. You may have to invest some time and some effort, but it doesn't really make it hard by itself. It's something challenging and you can make it. Like, for example, many people want to learn how to drive, right? It's one of the things that we believe it's great. And in the beginning, when you just step in a car and in the driving seat, it's very, very challenging. You agree?
Yeah.
But is it difficult in reality? Not so much difficult. I mean, you slowly learn, you get better, you start to get coordination between everything. I mean, I started driving with a manual driving gear. It made it a bit more challenging, but still I was able to do it after a couple of dozens of hours pretty good. But it was very challenging in the beginning. So it is like that. I mean, if you pay the price in a way, if you pay energy, if you pay attention, if you want to learn it, yeah, it can be challenging at first, but then it becomes very, very easy. And the most successful people, they make difficult stuff seem very easy, and it's easy for them. I mean, it's pretty easy for Roger Federer to give perfect shots sometimes when it comes to tennis. It's easy for him. It's natural. It's challenging for many, but he practiced. He is worthy because he practiced. He built that skill. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Any more questions? Andre, let's go into the love subject. Because I believe the car is not only for yourself. Right?
Not really. I have a girlfriend, so it's not really to attract women or anything like this.
Okay, so maybe I missed it. So you are saying you are fully abandoned in that department, right? You are perfectly happy, right?
Yes, I think so.
Is there any things that could be better? Or you would want to be better?
Not really. Maybe a little bit more time together.
Okay.
Because we are both occupied with school, at work.
I understand. You can make more time. I'm sure. I mean, school will eventually finish, right?
Yes.
And with work, the better you become, the more you have the flexibility of picking your schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, work is not really a big problem. The school is actually a lot more stressful.
How much more do you have?
Oh, this year and I'm finished.
Okay, so it's not so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to finishing it.
I believe you. It was pretty useless for me for the most part, to be honest, but yeah, it was okay.
For me too. For me as well.
Okay. So let's ask more questions. And let's try to make the theme thoughts and beliefs. And of course, we can also go through the middle point, which is emotions, because these are like the, let's call it, it's like the meat between the two slices of bread that make the burger.
Well, personally, I had a curiosity as a beginner in manifestation and meditation and spirituality overall. I cannot picture the idea of not having thoughts or having little thoughts. So if you could expand on that and just explain how it works or how you go through the day, I don't know, it just seems surreal for me.
Let me address you one thing first and foremost. You're not a beginner in manifestation. You're an expert because everybody manifests all the time. You're a beginner in conscious manifestation where you get to decide consciously, you know, with objective thinking, what you want and what you prefer to manifest.
Right. I knew that. I misspoke.
Okay. But, you know, I want to correct it so we don't allow mistakes. Think about this. For most people, 9+% of the thoughts are not really useful, if it makes sense. I mean, because we have constant interruptions like, yeah, I ought to be doing this. I ought to be doing that. I ought to be la, la, la. And you think about blah, 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 or you think about blah, 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 and it's not really useful. It's not something you prefer. That's why many people want to escape the mind by taking substances. I mean, they become successful. They understand that, okay, this is not really the final recipe for happiness. And they get into drugs, into cocaine, into marijuana, into some other stuff that make them feel better. Because you actually look for feelings. You want to feel good. We want to feel excitement. We want to feel joy. We want to feel ecstasy. That's why we do sex, right? To feel orgasm. To feel pleasure. So, in a way, you don't miss those thoughts because you don't miss the monkey that is coming with interruptions. Maybe I was a bit too critical of that. It is like a monkey, but of course, like I said, the mind can be a wonderful servant or a terrible master. When it's a terrible master is like a monkey that comes and interrupts you and like, bam, 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 this is the emergency right now. When it's a wonderful servant, you have stillness, you have peace in your mind, and peace is amazing. I mean, imagine when you smoke weed and you feel at peace, you feel so calm and relaxed. You can have that most of the time. And when you want to have thoughts, you put your intention, yes, I want to have ideas about this. And yes, you have thoughts, you have ideas. But you don't have so many stupid ones. You just get the great ones, the amazing ones. Does it make more clarity right now? Does it make more sense?
Yeah, it is more clear. I just can't imagine it for myself, but I know I can get there.
Yeah, it takes time, it takes practice. I mean, it's something that it's challenging. For most people, it's challenging. That's why not so many people achieve it. But it's how all spiritual is actually created. I mean, all like the schools that were in a way practical, schools that I studied, I mean, although in some ways those people can be primitive, usually, when it comes to modern life. For example, in China, I mean, they were very good people. But they didn't have as many luxuries as somebody in Europe, right? They were eating Chinese food from, you know, from the street sometimes, or they were sitting in caves. I mean, I don't think it's necessary to sit in a cave to meditate. So in a way, it was not the best of everything for me, at least. But yes, they got into a point where they was feeling great, and they were like, this was their tradition, and yeah, they were able to be much more powerful than I am, for sure, when it comes to handle energetic work, to do energy work. They were practicing for tens of years. They had masters training them and teaching them. I mean, I think I will progress further, for sure, and I'll get much more advanced in the future as well. But I'm not so focused on that, because the more you enter the present, the better you feel, the better you start feeling. So when you're feeling amazing, just great, become more peaceful. That's why, in a way, the first milestone is peace and inner peace. Peace, get to peace. Once you get to peace, life is pretty good. You start to love life slowly, more and more. Maybe slowly, maybe faster, but at least slowly you start to enjoy life more and more. And you don't think that you're missing on something because you don't need so many activities. That was one of the things that I was making more money. I had more activities in the past. However, I was not very, very happy. And I decided, okay, I don't need as much money. Let's focus more on happiness. That's why I put a lot of time into spirituality, which was, in a way, something that I thought at the time, and I think I was very, very correct, that contains more value than just to work more to make more money. And I have enough money. I'm satisfied with that. I mean, I'm a multimillionaire. I'm in a position where I don't have to work for money anymore in my life. However, I had months when I was spending a lot of money and I was not very, very happy. Right now, I have months where I don't spend as much money. I still enjoy it, but I'm much more happy. And for me, happiness is the most important from that perspective, right? That's the end result we usually want. And yes, slowly I'll make more money. I mean, I like that process, no problem. But I don't put pressure on it as I used to. And that was creating in me a lot of unnecessary turmoil when it comes to peace, when it comes to being peaceful. Does it make sense?
Yes, it does.
So I prefer to make progress right now from a position of, let's call it, clarity, where I do actions that are fewer but have way more leverage. In a way, I like a lot from a financial regard what Warren Buffett is doing. I mean, he doesn't work so much, and yet he's one of the richest guys in the world. And that's the one of the best examples, I think. He uses a lot of leverage. He doesn't spend his money somehow. I mean, he doesn't use all the money. I mean, he doesn't need as much money as he has, for sure. But as an example, I think it works. Any more questions, please?
Can we change our beliefs? So let's say there are some beliefs we are born with that are taught to us since we are kids. Can we change them along our lives?
Of course you can change your beliefs. You change your beliefs, you change your life. That's how it works. And I don't think the kid is born with beliefs. It is instilled, the beliefs are instilled in them by parents, society. Because if you look at a child, he's usually happy. I mean, I've seen some babies that, you know, are crying, but they have a reason. They're crying and then they are happy. And, you know, many parents are inspired how happy their small newborn babies can be. The natural state is one of happiness, of joy. The child is born with purity from that perspective. He doesn't know how to lie. He doesn't know how to deceive. He learns that from, you know, from his life experience slowly. So yes, of course you can change your beliefs. And the way to do that is to become first aware of what is it that you may believe from your perspective that is truth, and to realize it's not the ultimate truth. And once you can understand the greater truth, it's still true from your perspective. I'm not saying it's not true from your perspective. I mean, it's still correct from your perspective. However, it's not the ultimate perspective. There is a grander perspective. And you can understand that, and you can see, okay, this is actually even more truthful than that perspective. I mean, this is truth in that situation. However, I prefer this situation, and this situation is actually more truth. There is more truth in it, and it's actually the greater truth. And I want to feel, to see things in the grandest way possible. It makes sense?
Oh, yes.
If you want, we can go for an example. I think that would be good. Give me a belief or a truth like that, that you have, and you don't know whether you can change it or not.
Let's say the belief, I think, Sorina has too, that money is not obtained easily.
What belief would you prefer to have?
That money, if you really want them, will come to you. But also if you deserve them.
And don't you believe that's true?
Yes, I think that is true, but I don't have an example to give you right now, and I thought we could focus on this belief that money is hard to attain.
Don't you see examples in the world of a lot of people that, you know, worked for their money and got it?
Oh, yes.
So if you see so many examples, how can it be that it's not true?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You just have to do it yourself as well and see for yourself. But why steal from the journey? I mean, you'll be excited. The thing is that, you know, it's funny, but some people become millionaires or something like that, or billionaires or whatever, and they saw this happened, and they get disappointed because they think, oh, I thought it would be something else. Oh, I thought everything will change. No, dear, it's just more numbers in your account, and yes, you can purchase more things, but it doesn't change your overall being. It's like moving, traveling into other places. Just you traveling and seeing a new location. It doesn't change who you are, if it makes sense. So if you want, the biggest change is change yourself. Yeah, money is great. I mean, I like that I have money. I like it a lot. But it's not the most important for me right now. Much more important for me is to have an amazing present emotion. So yes, you'll get to money. Do you want spoilers? Maybe not, maybe yes. Of course, you have to be consistent, you have to be committed in growing your skill into making sure it's a skill that will also give you results, you know? I mean, and in your position, because I'm familiar with it, we will see what the market wants, right? And that's basically the most honest and the most meritocratic truth, right? Correct or not?
Yes, you're right. I thought about another example of beliefs. So let's say that over the years, we only thought that the Western medicine, like scientifically proven medicine, is the only right way to treat and heal the body and medical problems. And now you are talking about other practices from the Eastern world that are sounding something like magic. How can we change our belief that from, I don't know how to say it. Let me think for a second. You understand what I'm saying, yes?
Yeah, well, in reality, the best doctors know that they don't heal the people themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They can perform a surgery, they can give medication. However, the person heals himself. And your body will be the one responsible for healing. And I can give you the perfect example with HIV, right? I mean, when you suppress the immune system, you die. Eventually, you die by AIDS. So any small thing that will have no effect on other people will kill you if you have a condition like that. So all healing is ultimately done by the body. However, it's much better to support the body, to not give it, you know, garbage and expect gold on the other side. If you give it fruits, if you give it vegetables, if you give it plenty of water, especially if it's water that is alive. I mean, when you put lemon, it makes water alive. Because water, when you take it from the bottle, it's like dead water. It has been sitting still. It doesn't contain the energy of living water like from a spring. When you put lemon in it, that's living water. And it turns every milliliter, every spoon, let's call it, of water, it turns it alive. So if you put the right fuel for the body, yes, it will heal. If you have the belief that body loves you and supports you, yes, your body loves you and supports you unconditionally. That's why the body copes with all the misery and the suffering most people have with him, right? I mean, they abuse their body with food, with substances, with alcohol and some other stuff like that, and the body still works for them. But yes, if you give it the right fuel, in time it can heal anything. Then explain placebo, explain nocebo. How beliefs have such an impact that even pharma doesn't really want to look into it. They're afraid they might lose their customers. I mean, they're old systems that first and foremost want to make money. And in time, we will probably get to a point where we actually abolish disease. There are some other societies of extraterrestrial beings that don't have disease anymore in their societies. And with more evolving, we'll probably get there. And we'll understand the power that the body truly has to heal anything, any illness, any sickness that was many times caused by pollution, by heavy metals, by toxic foods. There are some viruses and bacteria as well that are harmful, but they cannot resist in a body that is alkaline, that is fed with proper foods and has a lot of liquids that are good, like water with lemon. Does that answer your question?
Oh, yes, thanks.
Thank you. More questions, please.
If we know someone close to us that has a harmful belief that could affect their life, but they are too stubborn and don't want to change it, how can we help them?
Well, you shouldn't insist too much. That's the first rule, because there are some people that want to be saviors. I mean, if you want to save the world, first save yourself. The best influence is by the power of example. Be the change that you want to see in the world. So there are some people that are chronically miserable. Just sorry, but walk away. I mean, if you tell them logically, reasonably, emotionally, and they still don't want to understand and they don't want to make a change for the better, I mean, it's actually not very, very good to insist. It's not recommended. Because in a way, you're entering their karma, something like that, you know, because the more you stay in that energy, the more you absorb that energy as well. And you start questioning maybe yourself as well. So it's not beneficial for you and it's not really beneficial for them because they receive attention. And many, many times these people that are in so-called pain, they want attention. And they receive what they want and you don't get what you would prefer. So it's not an ideal situation. I mean, people deserve free will. God gave us that all, free will. So it's best to respect it. So respect that individual has free will. You can show them the path that you believe is correct. And it's a much better path than they choose. However, if they don't want to walk the path, you cannot walk instead of them. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it actually makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
You're welcome. More questions, please. Facts and beliefs. More questions, please.
Can you give an example of a harmful belief that you let go of and it helped your life?
Let me try to remember. I usually I'm not concerned with these kind of things because I'm focused on the present and it's like, yeah, can you look through some of the garbage in the past and give us a piece? Something like that. Okay. But for the sake of the question, I will. I think I can give the relationship with money as a good example. I mean, I had a lot of money, but somehow in me, there was still some poverty emotions and some poverty beliefs. And I sensed like, look, if I contain having those beliefs, because I already knew about manifestation. I mean, I learned about manifestation more than 15 years ago. It's a recipe for disaster. So what I was doing, I was making a lot of money. I was spending a lot of money and I had to compensate. I had to work harder than I wanted to make sure I still get a lot of money. So I realized, like, look, first and foremost, I have to understand that if I have a specific amount and fully understand it, emotionally understand that by anyone's standards, I am wealthy. And of course, I mean, that's the, in a way, the hardest and way to get at it, right? I mean, you're rich and you don't believe you're rich. Although maybe $1 million doesn't seem like rich to many nowadays, but in most parts of the world, having $1 million is considered being rich. So I had more than $1 million and I was like still feeling that I was poor and I have to prove that I have money. And I was doing that. I mean, I had to prove that I have money. So I was just used to going into places and spending a lot of money in front of other people so they can know that I'm rich and I can get the feeling that, yes, I am rich, which was very stupid. But I had to go through that. And I realized, like, look, I have that money. I'm already proved. I'm already rich. I don't have to prove to anyone else that I'm rich. I don't have to prove it anymore. I can be rich while having a balanced life. And some of the wealthiest people in the world are known for having a balanced life, or some of them are even cheap. They are worth billions and they're very, very cheap. Like the founder of IKEA is famous for being very, very cheap while he was one of the wealthiest people in the world. So what can I say? I mean, right now I know that I am wealthy, that I am rich, yet I'm also savvy when it comes to finances. And I think that's the best objective approach. Because yes, you can become rich and you can lose it all. No problem. But it's not a great experience, if you ask me. It's easy to get poor. It's much easier to get poor than to get rich. Ask the people that win at lottery. Does that answer the question? Did I went through my garbage enough? Is it okay?
Yeah, that's okay. Well, it was actually interesting. Thank you.
From my past garbage, to correct myself. I don't have it anymore. I had to, whenever, because that's how the present works. I mean, you have to connect to something from the past that you no longer prefer, but I did it, no problem. You know, so it became temporary in a way, my garbage again. But like, look, it's not a garbage, bow out. I'm peaceful, I'm wealthy, I'm abundant. Those are better beliefs. I have everything that I need. Make sense?
Yeah, it does.
More questions, please?
Do you think phobias are a type of belief and can they be cured with meditation?
Anything can be cured by the present. Anything. Anything can be cured thus with meditation. Anything. Because like I said, spirit governs physicality. Physical reality is just a dream. It's not, in a way, the ultimate reality. It's a dream of that reality. So yes, you can use the same process. You can create with a moment or with... I recommend not going too much into the past to just look again at garbage from the past, to be honest, because some people can remain stuck like that for years and years and years, and you know they end up being miserable. So it's much better to look at something that is in the present, because the present is always relevant. Universe is perfectly built. God doesn't make mistakes. The present is always relevant. Do you have that phobia in the present? Yes, no. Does it affect you? Maybe a simpler path is to just not... I mean, let's say you have a fear of spiders. Just avoid spiders if it's possible. Or like if it's something that you cannot change, if you live in the nature and you still see a lot of spiders and you're afraid of it, go through emotions and go through beliefs. How do they make you feel? What would you... It's true. To experience the feeling that you're experiencing. It may be a bit more intense, but it's still the same process, still the same formulas. Do you want to take this any further?
No, I think I can understand that, and I think it's possible to in time to let go of phobias that seem instinctual but are actually ingrained in our minds?
We are born with two instincts, fear of loud noises and fear of heights. Everything else is invented by us.
So does that maybe mean that you can never let go of the fear of heights? I mean, I say fear of heights because that's something that I personally have, and I feel that it's kept me away from some experiences.
Let me give you another example. I see a lot of people that want to watch horror movies. They look at horror movies, they know it's not good for them, and they're fascinated by that. For me, it's hard to explain it right now. I mean, I realize in the past, I mean, I had a period when I was watching horror movies myself and I wanted like to be exposed to some horrific stuff. I don't remember exactly the reason, to be honest. It was just stupid. I mean, I've done stupid things in my life, no problem. But why get so fascinated by that? You know what I'm saying? So, yes, we can get obsessed and fascinated by the wrong things, but why do that? And with heights, is it something relevant or not? I mean, are you constantly working on very, you know, in conditions that expose you to heights or not really? If you don't have that relevancy in your life, why be concerned about it? It's not something that matters anyway. If you are one of those workers that, you know, have to go on heights, maybe you should change your work. Or if you don't have a choice or whatever, which seems something almost impossible to me, but let's say you don't have a choice, just focus on your present, calm down the emotions, calm down the thoughts, calm down the energies, and you'll become more and more relaxed. I mean, it's still, from a physical perspective, a bit of a scary situation. Yeah, there are dangers. If you can walk away, why not? Does it make sense?
Yes, I guess I just need to be okay with not doing some things, which in the grand perspective of things, I guess I won't be doing many other things.
Well, how many bites of food you can take?
In my life?
Or no, right now. The present is now relevant. People are too concerned about the future or about the past. In the present moment, how many bites of food can you take?
Well, in the present, only one.
Maybe more bites, but not so many. Why put more in your mouth than you can chew? Have some patience. You have time to eat anything you want and everything you want. Just little by little, bit by bit. This is something that usually comes from anxiety. And it's related to kidneys, kidney energy. It means impatience. It means not being able to relax more and more into the present. Be more relaxed in the present. Be more comfortable with the present. Accept and enjoy more and more the present. And everything else will start to disappear because it's not relevant. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Cool. Is it something helpful?
Yes, it is.
Think about that. You only live in the present. You don't live in the future. You don't live in the past. It's in fact, the future and the past are just illusions. There is only the present moment. Always have, always will be. That's it. It's only the present. Why live someplace else that doesn't exist in a way?
Well, isn't conscious manifestation a way of living in the future?
No. You take responsibility for the present. Manifestation is done only from the present to the present. The delay is just the process, the effect, because it's like an energy wave that you hold still and you allow the reflection to adjust to that. Everything is in the present, everything. There is nothing outside of the present. Because the only thing that exists is the present. And this is something physical, actually. I can explain it more if you want to, but only if you want.
No, I think I get it. It's true. I mean, we do live in the present.
And we only live in the present. We don't live in any other moment. Everything is only in the present. More questions, please?
How do you know that what you believe is real and is not just your subjective thinking that makes you think you are right?
Well,
do you try to find some evidences to prove that your belief is right, or just go with the flow?
God always tells the truth. What you experience as reality, as physical reality, is the reflection that God is. Do you observe something to be real? Then it's true. If you don't observe it, if you only hear it, maybe it's not true. I mean, believing is seeing also. Believing is seeing. So it's not something that... And I can give you an example, right? It was believed that man cannot fly. Only it's something reserved only for birds, angels, and some other mythologies, right? And right now we have experiences more and more that we are able to fly. And in the future, maybe we'll be able to levitate from mastering more and more energies of the universe. And I've seen examples of people levitating. I haven't done that, something like that myself, but I've seen and I heard about examples. And everyone knows the example of Jesus walking on water. So is it something that happens in physicality? If it happens in physicality, it's true. Does it make sense?
Oh, yes.
Do you have something else that you want to add? I mean, I sense that maybe there is something, a tidbit that you want to add to it.
Oh, no. I was just thinking, if you really think something and someone argues with you, how do you know it's you that you are right and not him?
No. So it is. There is something. See, you just said no, and then you added something. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's all about understanding that each one has a perspective, and from their perspective, they can both be correct. They can both be correct because it's like looking at the same thing from different views. And, you know, we have even, we have even pictures that can portray an old woman or a young woman at the same time. You've seen those, right?
Oh, yes.
Or you can look from a perspective that, an object has... four legs or three legs or some, there are some examples like where you have a picture that contains two perspectives in one single picture. Mm-hmm. Depending on the perspective that you look upon, you can see one thing or the other, right?
Yes.
The truth can be like that. But what is the ultimate perspective? Because there is only one truth. The holy truth is the ultimate truth. What is the one truth that contains all the other truths? So many times, some person comes with the truth from one perspective, another person comes with the truth from another perspectives, and there is a greater truth that allows both perspectives and creates in that process a greater perspective. Where, yes, this is true from this perspective, this is true from this perspective, but there is another perspective that contains all those and contains even more truth, grander truth.
Mm-hmm.
Sense?
Yes.
Does it helpful? Is it helpful?
Oh, yes, thank you. And I will show you a picture. I think it's funny. It's referred to what you are saying about two perspectives. Just a second.
Yeah. Right? Both perspectives are correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the ultimate perspective, see?
All right. Thank you for the answer.
Cool. More questions, please.
For now, I don't have any other questions. If Andre has any more, I'll let him say them.
No, I can't think of anything else right now.
So the exercise for today is to identify from one to three beliefs. So one is the minimum, three is the maximum. And pick the ones or the one that are the most important for you. Something that maybe you want to change about yourself. And something that is relevant to the present. If you want to make more progress. Because, like I said, why be concerned with something that is not really existent? That's something that is only in your imagination because it's not really practical. You can use imagination for better things than for inventing, so to say, more than for inventing garbage, you know. I mean, we can create garbage with our vision, but why do that? And become aware of those beliefs that you want to change. Maybe something about money, maybe something about love, maybe something about health. And understand that manifestation happens in the present. I think that's an important point. The results of manifestations are delayed. The results of manifestations are delayed. That's it. It's a reflection. But manifestation is only in the present. I mean, the result is like a feedback tool. When you have been given the feedback response that, yes, the universe heard you, you are right. That's it. But you are creating manifestation and you are emitting a signal in the universe, and the inner universe creates the outer universe all the time. Because God already gave us the power of creators. Gave it to us. I mean, we're just preventing it on a deeper level ourselves from having access to that, because we're a bit afraid still. It's a way to, so to say, preserve consistency of reality, but we have much greater power than we like to believe. So pick one, two, or three beliefs that you prefer to change and look at them from perspectives, from emotions, from definitions, and choose what you prefer. I recommend something that is objective, but the ultimate truth is unconditional love and worthiness. So if you can think of something, yes, you deserve it. Of course, it's best to get that thing from a perspective of integrity, with integrity, with excitement, from a positive way. It's best to get to that thing than from a negative trip. But of course, God loves us unconditionally, so whatever we consider is good for us, it allows. Do you like my exercise?
Oh, yes, I will try it.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. I guess we'll elaborate on it more tomorrow.
Sure, tomorrow we will talk about inner peace and accelerating manifestation.
That cool. Sounds great.
Okay, have a great day. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have a good day.